This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Use code GRACE to receive $10 off plus free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com to order today. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, it's not the Howie Carr Show. It's my show. And I brought my own music.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. The Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Get ready, Boston. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm so excited to be here for this last hour. We're going to be talking a lot about cancel culture because I've been seeing it everywhere. And I think for a while, people thought it was something they wouldn't have to worry about. You know, it was usually saved for people who said something totally out of bounds or something crazy. And they would get canceled. But for the most part, a lot of people didn't think it was, you know, ever going to come home to roost. And what we're seeing now is that cancel culture is wild. I mean, we talked about it in a lot of these segments. People are getting fired. You almost get one story a day. And now Forbes magazine is saying, or a writer for Forbes is saying, oh yeah, every company should fire people that worked for the Trump administration. And there was a really interesting case. I'm going to try to find it here in my stack of stuff of a guy who got a job. I think it was with the PGA and or the NHL. I'm not sure. One of those big corporations. And he had worked for the Trump administration and the company found out and demanded that his direct supervisor, whoever was in charge of him, fire him. And it's getting out of control. It's getting totally out of control. And if you're not realizing it, you're not paying attention. And I read that tweet from the last segment and people are saying, oh, Grace, can you read some of the replies? I'll try to find some. I'm sure there's plenty. But the tweet basically said these conservatives, they cannot hold any real jobs anymore. They cannot be police officers. They cannot be teachers. They cannot be doctors. They have to be shunned. And I believe the word was menial jobs they can do, but they can't be part of polite society.
Yes, clean the streets, you credulous boomer rubes. Pick up the trash.
In our poll question, we hit all of these words that people are using. Cleanse, that was what Rick Klein said. The ABC political director said, you know, it's time to cleanse the Trump movement. People have said reprogram, rehabilitate, purge. It's almost, you know, Jared, I'm not very sensitive, but it's almost like it's dangerous rhetoric.
It could be.
It's almost like it could incite violence.
I have to wait for the tech overlords to give us the definition that we just can't understand.
But before we get to any more of that, I want to read you guys two stories. One is from Breitbart. It says 60% of battleground voters consider impeachment attempt a waste of time. And this comes from McLaughlin and Associates. This doesn't surprise me, but what might surprise you is that the memo addressed to Trump campaign advisor Jason Miller found 60% of all voters view impeachment, which Democrats plan to push despite the fact that proceedings will not begin until after he is already out of office, as another waste of time and money. Now, this number is even crazier. An even greater percentage, 77%, believe the Congress should prioritize dealing with the Chinese coronavirus pandemic, with less than a quarter preferring to prioritize impeaching Trump. So, and I always say this, you see people on Twitter, it's a small group of people. It doesn't make up most of the country. And you see people in D.C., again, small group of people does not make up the majority of the country. The majority of the country, the people, especially from the battleground states, they have their heads on right. They see this for exactly what it is. And it makes me feel better. And another story I did want to get to before we bring on our next guest, CNN grounds its long-running airport network. this is a huge step in the right direction. CNN is deciding that they're not going to be played at airports all over the place. Jared, it's a sad day. I don't know what's next. If dentists are going to stop subscribing to Time Magazine, this is a slippery slope, as they say. And I'm scared. And I think everyone at CNN is probably scared, including Cuomo and Lemon and Jim Acosta and all the journalists at CNN. But our next guest just dealt with a little bit of cancel culture himself. Welcoming to the show, the one and only Kurt Schilling. Thank you for being with us, Kurt.
There she is. Don't you dare try and sound like a professional with me, right?
What can I say, Kurt? This is my radio voice.
How you doing?
I'm good. So I saw the story today on Twitter, and I wasn't sure if it was real. And then someone called in my last segment and said, you got to talk about Kurt Schilling. Can you explain to people what happened?
Yeah, so in 2004, Shonda and I were shopping. We had just moved here, and we were shopping around for our insurance, homeowners, all the other things that people do to, you know, property, private property, you know, whatever. And we settled on AIG, and we've had AIG from 2014 to 2020. Never been late on a bill, never had a claim. You know, we were like AAA clients. We're perfect insurance clients, you know, for anybody. Got a message from someone who works with us and for us yesterday that the AIG had terminating our insurance policy as of the 21st. And the reasoning behind it was that management, along with marketing at AIG, had decided that they did not like my social media profile, so they terminated our policy. And that's the whole story. So
now, Kurt, what this makes me think of is when a lot of whatever it was, whether it was impeachment or the Russia investigation or whatever, and Trump would hire lawyers, and the lawyers started to get blackballed, and people started calling up the law firm saying, you can't work with this person, you can't defend Donald Trump. It's basic stuff now that's being called into question if people disagree with you. Are you surprised?
This is who they are. I mean, no, gosh, no. This is who they are. This is who they've always been. If you haven't had your eyes open, you need to only be awake one day in the last 4 years. It doesn't matter, pick a day arbitrarily to know this is who they are. This is what they are. They are a group of elitist, you know, liberal, very exclusive. They're just bad, evil people. And, you know, I would tell you this is the tip of the iceberg. Here's the thing. If the left can manage to cancel the president, who are you?
Hey, you're telling me. I'm literally no one.
Well, this is the, and here's the thing. We're going to get insurance somewhere. It's not a big deal. And I wasn't complaining in no way. I was just posting information. I just wanted people to know it's real and it's happening. And it's going. I'm looking very much forward to the first time we start to see this happen to college kids, to minorities who voted for Biden, because apparently they're so good for minorities, which we'll find out that that's the exact opposite of the truth. But I want to shoot this back. I want to turn around and ask you a question, Gracie, because I was talking last night. I'm on a new social media app because I moved away from Periscope and Twitter. Periscope's going away, and I desperately want to be away from Twitter and all the things that it is and Facebook. And so I'm on this program, this thing called Haps TV. And I was streaming last night, and on Periscope, how Periscope will always show you how many viewers you're getting anywhere from, and I would get anywhere. I have 285,000 Twitter followers, but probably 3 to 4 times that actually.
Right.
And on Periscope each night, it was weird. I was like getting 80 to 120 at tops concurrent viewers. And I've known my Twitter account's been throttled for 4 years now. I've added like 750,000 followers in 3 years, and my follower total's gone up 78,000. So they've been throttling me. Anyway, I get on Haps, and I'm getting 15 to 25,000 viewers nightly. And I know that's what Twitter and Periscope are doing. But the question I had last night was, and I don't think anybody's actually thinking about this, because Fox has gone full left on us. But how did we move away from the election fraud so quickly? How is that not still the biggest story in the world?
Yeah, no, it's a good point, Kurt. And I think that what the left wanted to do was basically be able to say none of this matters anymore because a bad thing happened last week. And I think that there are still people out there like Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz who are talking about election fraud and who are talking about, you know, and it's fine to say that President-elect Joe Biden is going to be president. I've totally said that a million times at this point, but we have to set up something in the future that people don't feel so unsure of the election process. And Kurt, I'm sorry to cut you short there. This was a last minute interview. We had a little trouble getting on the line, so the interview's a little short, but I thank Kurt Schilling for coming on. Find him at all his, you know, whether you're on Parler or whatever you're on. He's always telling his truth. And we thank him so much for joining us. And he brought up a really good point, which is leftism. There's a great piece today. It's called Leftism is a Luxury Good and Its Awful Price Will One Day Be Due. And it's by Kyle Salmon from The Federalist. And it's the same thing Kurt was just talking about, which is all of this wokeism and all of this cancellation and, you know, calling people problematic. It's all well and good when it's us, when it's the boomer rubes, when it's the rednecks, when it's the deplorables, the irredeemables, the bitter clingers. That's all well and good. But eventually, this is going to get to a point where no one... I always say this. I say, I started going on TikTok. And I know, guys, I know. Everyone's going to be mad. Grace, TikTok, you know, all your stuff's going to get stolen. I know. But I love the videos. They're so funny. But anyway, I was on TikTok and I kept seeing these things about unproblematic queens. That's what they would say about certain characters like Samantha from Sex and the City, people who were like great characters that people liked. And I started thinking, unproblematic. It's a funny new thing that's happening with this generation of unproblematic, that you can't have anything. You can't have ever said anything that they don't like. You can't have ever, you know, joined a movement that they don't like or been part of a political group that they don't like, or you're problematic. And I thought to myself, I'm problematic. And Kurt Schilling's problematic. And Jared Diglio, who's looking at me right now, is problematic. And you listening at home, by listening to me and maybe following me on Twitter, I hate to tell you this, but you're problematic and you're problematically canceled. We're all canceled. And the sooner we realize that, the easier it's going to be to kind of stand up peacefully. I'll say that. Stand up and voice our opinions and not be afraid to say, listen, this is what I believe politically. Doesn't mean we have to, you know, there should never be any violence, but don't be afraid of being canceled, because that I feel is inevitable at this point. People are getting canceled for all sorts of crazy reasons. All right, guys, when we get back, we'll talk more about that. 844-500-4242. I see everybody on the line. I am going to get to you. This is Grace Curley, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes the girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
We're talking about everything in this final hour. We just had Kurt Schilling on talking about cancellation, cancel culture, whatever you want to call it. The purging of Trump supporters from polite society. And I really want to know what you guys think. I see the phone lines, 844-500-4242. First, I'm going to go to Grace. Grace, you're talking to Grace. What's going on, Grace?
Thanks so much for taking my call. So I really don't know why they keep using the word progressive and liberal, because this is communism. This is exactly what happened in the 40s to the Jews. People were singled out. It started with this kind of propaganda, this kind of talk. And people are afraid to use the word, but it's here. It's in the Capitol. And I think that Chuck Schumer was kind of staring down the barrel of somebody speaking just about that very issue when he was trying to do his little sidewalk speech the other day.
Yeah, Grace, I definitely think this has, you know, echoes of communism. I hate to cut you off. We're just short on time, but I do appreciate the call. Bruce, you're next with Grace from the Howie Carr Show. What's going on, Bruce?
Yeah, Grace, it's basically all about the little guy. It's the
Sorry, Bruce, bad connection. But don't worry, guys. We're going to get to more of the calls, 844-500-4242. I want to read this. I saw this today in a Ben Shapiro column. He said, lies are dangerous and double standards are perhaps the most dangerous form of lying. They grant the bravery of purity to those most willing to defy decency, prompting similar spasms of cruelty and malice from the other side. The solution to our national crisis of conscience isn't bad faith political purges, which we were just talking about, or repetition of tiresome falsehoods about the nature of the United States. It's truth. But truth is more a shield than a sword. And we are now in the age of swords wielded aggressively by those with little principle, but an unending sense of their own moral superiority. I don't think there's a better case of moral superiority than Eric Swalwell, the representative from California. I mean, this guy, he's coming hot off the presses about this Chinese spy story, and now he's going to impeach the president again. And he's so proud of himself for doing it. It's amazing. The lack of self-awareness, the lack of humility of these people. Like, not once did he ever feel the need to apologize. If anything, he came out and said, oh, I think Donald Trump's at fault here. And now they put him right back on another committee, and we're supposed to take them seriously. That's Nancy Pelosi, it's a slap in the face to Americans. Because this guy is so compromised. Anyone with two eyes and two ears could figure out this guy is compromised. So let's put him on more committees. Intel's not enough. He hasn't jeopardized enough of national security with that. Let's put him on the impeachment management team. And another one on the impeachment management is Ted Lieu, who I believe has said some things that I would consider inciting violence in the past. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn. Do what I did and enjoy this beautiful inn. I went with my fiance, one of the best weekends I've ever had. To reserve your room, go to follinsbyinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which word do you find to be most unifying? Cleanse, deprogram, re-educate, reconciliation, or purge?
Reconciliation. I've changed my mind. I forgot about that one.
Reconciliation in the lead at 32%. Cleanse, second place at 29%.
Yeah, so I think this is important to bring up people like Eric Swalwell and Ted Lieu, who are now in charge of impeaching the president of the United States, because it's not whataboutism. These people are in charge. And their double standards are mind-blowing. And I'm happy this conversation keeps coming up. And I'm happy people are saying, how can this guy be part of the management committee or the impeachment committee? How is he in charge of getting rid of or removing the president as the president? I mean, it's just it's insane. And Byron York had a great piece in Town Hall. He said, Democrats started trying to remove President Donald Trump from office before he entered office. Now they are proposing to remove him from office after he leaves office. Does that not tell you everything you need to know? I thought today, I was thinking of what it reminded me of. And it reminds me of that line from Brokeback Mountain where he just says, you know, I can't quit you. That's how the Democrats are with Donald Trump. They can't.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Nancy Pelosi wishes she knew how to quit Donald Trump. And she doesn't, obviously. Because doing this 100 days after he's gone and he's golfing somewhere in Scotland, real good use of all our taxpayer dollars, but they don't care. Everything now is theater. They said, I remember one time Howie told me that people in DC are people who wanted to make it in Hollywood but never could. And this is real theatrics now. Guys, when we get back, I'm talking to Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine. Don't go anywhere. Thank you so much for the calls, and we'll take more calls tomorrow. But stay tuned for Michael Harrison. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. There's a story that's out. I first saw it in The Hill. And it's about a talk radio company that employs some of the nation's most popular conservative radio hosts has issued a memo barring talent from spreading conspiracy theories about the 2020 presidential election. Now, when it comes to radio, there's no one better than Michael Harrison. He has served as the editor and publisher of Talkers, the leading trade publication in the American talk media industry, for the past 30 years. In addition to that, as if that's not enough of a full-time job, Michael also hosts the Michael Harrison Wrap. I've been lucky enough to be part of that. He also currently hosts Podcast One's The Michael Harrison Interview. He's an expert in all things radio. Thank you so much for joining us, Michael.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for having me on, and you're sounding really good. Congratulations on a wonderful new show.
Thank you so much. So, Michael, the first thing I want to ask you is, can you break down this story for people and your thoughts on it? Do you think that this is, does it scare you as much as it scares me?
It doesn't scare me at all, because I've been through this cycle so many times. There seems to be this misunderstanding that somehow American corporate management have no interest in what's going on in terms of talk radio, and they've given all the hosts a carte blanche to do whatever they want, and now they're cracking down, and it's censorship. We've been around this cycle every time there's been a controversial issue or there's been something that could stand in the way of the goodwill or the advertising. You know, there are boycotts. There are all kinds of things that people deal with, not to mention just, you know, the public zeitgeist, if you will. The mood of the public changes. So I saw the memo that came down from one of the big companies saying, hey, cool it, guys. And I see it as more of a temporary, let's put the lid on the top of this for a while. They don't want to fire talk show hosts that are making a lot of money for them, and they don't want to lose that segment of their lineup, you know, because they're more than just conservative. In this case, it's Cumulus Media, one of the four big companies, and they have lots of shows. They have sports. They have music stations. You know, it's not that they're a political organization, but they don't want to lose the benefits that come from having such a large footprint in the talk radio business. Talk radio is one of the major parts of radio that keeps radio iconic. So I see it as just them being very careful and putting people on notice that they did something about it, because when you own a license to a radio station or a group of stations, and you're doing business in the larger community where there's all kinds of political views, and you're dependent on goodwill, and so many other factors that come into play, you got to be very careful about the feedback. And here's the funny part, Grace, is all of this is fine under the First Amendment. This actually is freedom of speech per the First Amendment in action. I guess you didn't expect me to say that, did you?
No, I agree with you, Michael, but I find it interesting because I do think there's this misconception, especially with conservative radio, and it's probably propelled by, you know, politicians and the media, but there's this idea that we go off the handle and we say whatever. We just want to get people riled up and we don't care what we say. But to your point, radio hosts and radio companies have always walked a very fine line. Nobody wants to say anything that's going to get them in trouble or, you know, cause any sort of upheaval. So I agree with you on that. I think that there's this misconception that this is the first time this is happening, when really there's been a lot of people are very careful.
Right. Also, you used a word there that I would like to dissect. You said we, when you were referring to conservative talk radio. When you look at it under the microscope, all conservatives are not the same. The conservative radio movement, a segment of the conservative movement in America that's expressed on radio, every host I talk to, and I know most of them very well, or certainly the big ones, and I know a lot of the up-and-comers, they all have different points of view on this. It's amazing how different. And there's a huge discussion going on right now in conservative media about where do we stand on our support of Donald Trump at this provocative time. This is not just any old time talking about policy. It's not even talking about communism versus fascism, which a lot of people get into this hyperbolic mode of turning it into it's the communists or it's the fascists. America is at the crossroads. Well, I mean, if you've been around a while, you've seen that argument goes all the way back, certainly before I was born, goes all the way back to, you know, FDR was called a communist. Reagan was called a fascist. This is the way we do politics in America. It's a very, very messy thing. But all conservatives are not the same. And it's fascinating because of how this thing has been ramped up now to the level of insurrection. I mean, what we've seen this past week is pretty darn amazing. There's a lot of soul searching going on. One, for conscience, and two, for business positioning. Like, where do we want to fall out on this one? How's history going to treat us? You know, is Trump going to go down as a misunderstood hero who was abused by the deep state and the press and the Democrats? Or will he go down in history as a terrible president? Where do we want to be? And this is the way politics is. Politics makes strange bedfellows, doesn't it? People are shuffling around and trying to reposition themselves.
Right.
Keep in mind, I'm looking at this from a very nonpartisan position, not because I'm such a pure person, but because that's my job in the industry. That's my role, so I'm staying in my lane.
Actually, Michael, that's one thing I always notice about you. You're very calm and collected. You don't really show your hand a lot. And I remember when you were, I was interviewed by you, and I couldn't get a read. I couldn't figure out, where does this guy fall politically? And that's a good thing. There's not a lot of that right now. But my next question for you is about talk radio as a business in general. I know that it's been booming. There's been very few sports radio programs lately because of the pandemic. And also this political cycle, like you mentioned, is outrageously controversial. So talk radio has definitely been booming. But do you see it growing with the Biden administration? Or do you see people kind of going, ugh, I got to take a break?
Oh, I see it growing. I see talk, as long as we have significant platforms that have a certain level of cachet and mass appeal to them. In other words, where it's not broken down to every man for himself in their basement, you know, doing a podcast, but having real platforms, real radio stations, real networks, I see news talk radio with a political bent being the major, or certainly one of the two or three major formats of radio indefinitely, because people need to have these marketplaces of ideas. They need to have these platforms. They need to be able to express themselves. And let's face it, this is a never-ending story. Think about the listeners to this show and you and me. We have front row seats on history in the making. And it's a nonstop show. It's not going to be resolved. It's like watching, you know, these programs on Netflix. You know, if you have 20 of them or 30 of them or another season, you're not going to be fully satisfied at the end. They're going to hook you for the next
right.
in these serials. So we're in a reality serial, and we don't have to worry about Taylor Swift having a new song that everybody will like, or musical changes or whatever. The reality of the world is the best material in the world. So I am very strong on talk radio, and I think that under Biden, it's going to be a whole new shift that's going to give it, it's going to freshen it up a bit, especially since the fact that most commercial news talk radio is of a conservative nature. It'll be a wonderful new era for the format and for the medium to be able to play the role of critic of power, as opposed to the less comfortable role of defender of power.
Right. And Michael, I think you make a great point, because when I was preparing for the first show here, people kept saying to me, what are you doing to prepare? Like, you know, what, weeks before I had my first show, what are you doing? And I was kind of thinking to myself, this news cycle is so fast. I'm going to have to get up the morning of and print off 1,000 stories, which I've done every day since, and see what's happening on, like you said, the show that day. What is happening right now? And it keeps shifting, and it never ends. You're totally right on that. But my question, you said about Cumulus, and you know, this is not the first time that radio stations, or you know, big radio has told people, hey, calm down, you know, like we got to keep it calm here. And I totally get that. But I guess my other question for you, because I know you're a podcaster, I know that you're online and you have talkers, are you scared about big tech? Does that scare you at all? The fact that, sure, you know, people can always say what they want, but what if a platform decides, but we don't like that anymore, we're going to take it off our platform?
I worry about that all the time. I worry about it from a standpoint of my concern for the broadcasting industry. I worry about it for my concern about the people that I know who make their living in the broadcast industry from a personal standpoint. I care about it from my love of radio. And my my major political platform is supporting the First Amendment and the general tenets of free speech. So of course I'm concerned about it, because if we don't have free speech in America, we don't have America. I mean, the big theme of the past couple of weeks, actually a few months, has been what is going to happen to American democracy. The Trump supporters believe that Trump is the only thing that could save American democracy, and the Trump detractors believe that he's the impediment to American democracy. So it's pretty dramatic. One way or the other, I'm all for American democracy, and I don't believe we could have American democracy without an unfettered marketplace of ideas where people can speak about these things openly and where they can be heard, read, comprehended, disseminated. So, yeah, I'm always concerned about these things. On the other hand, I'm not that concerned about this, because as I said earlier, I think what we're seeing right now, Grace, is American democracy and American free speech in action. Pushed to the max, there is danger, but I think we're going to work it out, and I think in the end we're going to be fine.
Michael, I'm already getting texts from people wondering where they can find your work, because you're so eloquent and you do such a good job getting your point across. Where can people find your podcast and your publication online?
Talkers.com.
Awesome. And Michael, my last question for you, you mentioned Netflix. I can already tell you're like me. You're one of those people. You like to binge. What is one Netflix recommendation you can give to people who are hearing this interview and going, I wonder what that guy's watching?
Oh, I think The Crown is one of the greatest pieces of television and cinema to come down the pike on any venue in a very long time. And it also contains all kinds of interesting politics that relates to what we're doing now. I recommend The Crown, and I certainly recommend, this is nothing original, everybody's talking about it, The Queen's Gambit. Yes. Wonderful piece of drama.
I love both of those. We have similar tastes. Thank you so much for coming on, Michael. That's Michael Harrison from Talkers. He is the best in the business. It's nice to be able to have an expert on about radio, because we're in it every day, but it's nice to have an objective take on the business end of it. Thank you very much, Michael. Guys, when we get back, we're going from one expert to the next. The next expert is the one and only Howie Carr. We will be right back. But before we go, we have to talk about the thunderstorm, because I've told you guys about this and I'm going to keep telling you about it, because I get a lot of messages and DMs and people saying, you know, what was the device you mentioned about getting rid of the dog smell or getting rid of the tobacco smell? It's the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. My friends at Eden Pure have done it again. Starting today, you can get the Thunderstorm air purifier at the lowest price offered to my listeners with code word GRACE. The Thunderstorm is available for under $90. That's $90, 90, and shipping is free. This is going to last as long as the supplies are there, which might not be a long time. The Thunderstorm is a small device. You can tell I'm holding it in my hand. It's like the size of a phone charger. You can move it around from room to room depending on what smell you need to get rid of. If someone cooks something awful and then the dog sits on the couch and you need to move it from the kitchen to the living room, it's not an issue. It's lightweight. It's easy. It's quiet. Take advantage of this 1 week only sale and experience for yourself what all the listeners, Howie, and advertisers are raving about. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE. Shipping is free. We'll be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show, everyone. Don't forget, you can check out all our podcasts at gracecurlyshow.com. There's a lot of news. I think we got to everything I wanted to get to, but what I really have to do now is I have to congratulate Howie Carr, who's on the line with us, because he had a small win today. CNN will no longer be playing when he goes to the airport in Palm Beach. Howie, what would you like to say about this?
I got that news yesterday in a text, Grace, and I thought it was fake news. I couldn't believe they would ever kill CNN airport news. I thought that was where the bulk of their audiences came from. But then I realized nobody's in these airports anymore, right?
Well, that was the funny thing, is that they kind of framed it like, oh, well, no one's in the airports anymore, so the audience. And I'm like, well, yeah, also, I mean, nobody wants to watch it. That's has to be part of the problem as well. I'm sure those poor people in the kiosks have to hear from people like you every single day saying, can't you shut this off and turn something else on? Can't you put the game on or something? They must get that all the time.
Yeah, it's tough to put the game on at 7:30 in the morning, though, you know? And what are you going to put it on? There are all the channels that they have are basically going to be the same, MSNBC and increasingly Fox. How can you tell the difference between any of them?
And Howie, another TV update for you. I don't know if you saw this. John Roberts will not be covering the White House anymore. As far as like the press conferences go, it's going to be Peter Ducey will be covering the Biden administration.
Great. Oh, that's a good move.
That one horse pony, Peter Ducey. Damn it!
You know, there was another interesting bit of TV news I saw this morning. Jimmy Fallon had the lowest numbers Monday night that anyone has ever had on the Tonight Show, probably dating back to even back to Steve Allen days. He was the first host. Steve Allen, Jack Parr, Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, but he had under a million people on Monday night. Isn't that amazing?
It would take a heart of stone not to laugh, Howie. But another thing, Howie, I wanted to tell you about was I was reading this article from Byron York, and he mentioned something that I didn't think of. He said Democrats started trying to remove President Donald Trump from office before he entered office. Now they are proposing to remove him from office after he leaves office. And I was thinking, wow, it's so true. It's like every single time you think they can't get crazier, they get crazier. And you know history. You're a history guy more than I am. But have you ever seen anything like this, this thirst to prosecute someone after their time is up?
No, I said it's like when they dug up Oliver Cromwell, the former dictator of England, after he was dead for 3 years and the monarchy came back, they dug him up and tried him and then they hanged him again, even though it'd been, and a couple of his cohorts, even though they'd been dead for 2 or 3 years. It's just insanity. Hey, here's another one. I'm going to mention this on my own show. You remember, I've talked about this before. They have Trump sold a piece of property for $95 million back in 2008, long before he began running for president, 2008. And he sold it to a Russian. And he had a big press conference to announce it because it was the highest price ever paid for a piece of property in Palm Beach, $95 million. He was trying to get $100 million, be the first guy. That's what real estate developers do. They brag about all their sales and how much money they made and that kind of stuff. Well, the place was resold just now, Grace. It's the lead story in the shiny sheet, the Palm Beach Daily News.
Mm-hmm.
Spec house gets $140 million price tag. And then we come to the subhead, which is the important thing. Home stands on land. Trump once sold to a Russian.
Oh my gosh. All roads lead to Putin. Nancy Pelosi said it best. Maxine Waters said we need to connect the dots, Howie. I think this is a case for Howard Lawrence Carr. I think you need
once
to connect the
sold
dots.
It to a Russian. 8 years ago, the Russian had nothing to do with Vladimir Putin, and it's been sold 2 or 3 times since then, but he once sold it to a Russian.
I love how they put that out there as if there's nothing purposeful behind it. Like, oh, we're just adding this in, as if it doesn't fit their narrative. It's so transparently obvious. Did you see Brian Stelter, Howie? Since we're on the TV and the media right now, he was tweeting about the Bill Belichick decision to not go to the White House, not take the award.
Yeah.
Right. And Brian Stelter said, normally we'd be expecting the hate tweet from Trump in 3, 2, 1, .. And people were tweeting at him and they're like, dude, you got what you wanted. He's off Twitter. Now you're tweeting about how normally he would be tweeting about this. Get a life. Guys, that's Howie Carr. He'll be back in 5 minutes with a jam-packed show. Thank you everyone for tuning in for another day of the Grace Curley Show. We'll be back tomorrow with so much more.